This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello one and all, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ and ready to take a look at the Maybank Championship on the European Tour and the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. Sitting opposite me in the studio, Dave Tindall, a warm welcome to you. Good morning, sir.
Hello, David.
Are you well?
Good, thank you. Yes, thoroughly enjoyed last week's golf from just... In a funny way, I was always glad I didn't have any bets.
In contention.
Yeah, it was. I could just sit back and watch it purely for golf and enjoy everything and not be sort of rooting against somebody. So it was just great, wasn't it, that final round?
Obviously, I missed the podcast last week due to Cheltenham being on. So I was in a similar situation to you. Had no interest in the event. I didn't look at the event pre-tournament either, which is a rarity for me. And I sat back, relaxed, and watched it on Sunday night, and it was a pulsating finish. Rory McIlroy back in the winner's circle. He played some brilliant golf in the lead-up to the tournament and finished in style after a slightly rocky start on Sunday, doubled the fourth, having hit his approach shot in the water. But after that decent break on 15, where his tee shot looked like it was heading for the cabbage, played a marvellous shot out of the bunker, made the 15-footer, and high-quality shots followed on 16 and 18 to seal the title.
Yeah, did it well and finally got it done. I saw some quotes where he said he was quite glad it was playing tough because he made that double bogey at four when he went in the water and he thought, here we go again. But he said when he looked up at the leaderboard, he was still there and everyone else was struggling. John Rahm shot a 76. And Tommy Fleetwood, he's got that kind of Monty sort of hangdog look when the shoulders go.
Yeah, yeah.
He can spot a mile away when he's not going to win. I think he's got to sort of get away from that because it makes him come across as someone who's like a sort of a competition winner who's done well to get there so far, but sort of knew he was never going to win. He's got to just thrust his chest out a bit more on a Sunday, I think.
Do you think that you've got that perception of Fleetwood because of how he's dressed as well a little bit? There was a lot of fun made of his look going into Saturday's third round.
What did David Fairty say? Looks like a homeless person who's robbed a Nike store.
Exactly that. And you couldn't help but feel that way. He's got an unkempt look, hasn't he? And
I think it's more the posture.
Isn't that because of the baggy jumper that maybe he looks a little bit
just
slouched?
The way you hang your shoulder sort of thing. It just looks, and facial expressions, it just looks like... it's not going to go my way.
And he's been bang there to win a couple of events, but not sealed the deal.
I mean, I know other players, maybe Rory can look a bit down, but there's some who, when it's going the wrong way, I don't think they help themselves. They just look defeated.
Okay. And Rory McIlroy will be going into the Masters in 3 weeks' time with everyone predicting he will win it.
Yeah, 7-1 favourite now here at William Hill. Clear favourite now, Dustin Johnson 10s, Rose 12s, Justin Thomas 14s. But yeah,
would he be on your mind for Magnolia?
Rory, he's still got... Obviously, he didn't really have any baggage with the Players' Championship, did he? He always thought it was a difficult course for him, whereas Augusta National, he thinks that's perfect for him, and he's got that four-shot lead that he blew that time. So, I don't know. He's going to win it, though, isn't he, at some point?
We've been saying that for the last 5 or 6 years, haven't we, with McIlroy?
I'd like to be on him at a bigger price, I must admit.
Okay. A quick word on the winner in the European Tour event as well, in Kenya as well, the magical Kenya Open. Guido Mitliozzi scored... He's from the Niall Horan stable, isn't he, as well?
So, that's right.
Big moment for him.
Yeah, certainly going in the right direction. One direct, something like that. He's got lots of style. That's me out. I don't know anything more about them. Young Italian. Apparently, didn't he win there was some stat he won the Italian amateur about six times.
In a row, I think.
How can you do that?
Yeah,
he won it when he was about 12 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you watch the final round of that?
I saw bits and pieces of the final round. I liked
that event. I liked the course. I liked the fact that it was sort of brown and a bit... It just looked a bit different. It had something about it.
Yeah. I thought Adrian Aus was fantastic as well.
He's one to watch,
he looks like
he?
A fantastic player, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's going to win soon.
Let's talk about this week then. We have the Maybank Championship to start things off in Malaysia. And Thomas Peters, 14-1, is the... When's he... Last not being favourite for European Tour
Event. He's playing in all these sort of smaller ones, isn't he? Always the favourite. Is he going to win one, though?
I don't know. I don't think so. Thomas Peters, 14-1. Jorge Campillo is 16-1. Mike Lorenzo Vera, 22-1. Fabrizio Zanotti is in the market at 25s. Ryan Fox, 25-1, along with Thomas Dietrich. Adrian Aus is 33s, along with Alexander Bjork, Jason Scrivener and Jordan Smith, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And for the third straight year, the Saujana Golf and Country Club hosts this championship. Zanotti took the title in 2017 and Shivankar Sharma won it last year. And it's a pretty short course for a par 72, measuring just over 7,100 yards. There's not a great deal to challenge players off the tee, despite this course being tree-lined. The greens will be very receptive, and it's a fun week for these players because they know, Dave, it's pretty much all out attack this week.
Yeah, what was it, minus 19 and minus 21 have won before, so got to make birdies galore for this event. So you can actually find now birdie leaders on the European Tour website, which is good.
And this course also hosted the Malaysian Open in 2004, 2005 and 2007 and 2009 as well. So
it seems a bit a long way back, but you've seen players who've got good form from back then play it well again in the last 2 years. So you can look back to that.
Definitely. Does it suit a specific type of player?
I looked at the stats and I think the first year scramblers did particularly well. Last year it seemed you took greens in regulation, so I'm not sure. It's one of those ones, it's tree lined and you read some player quotes that you've got to hit it in the fairway and it just you don't.
No, it's not borne out by the stats at all, is it?
Not at all. The other thing, the weather forecast, it's going to be hot, isn't it? I think 100 or so, and you've got the old tea storm threat as well, which I think could make it a bit frustrating this week.
And a few player quotes that I read said that in terms of you've just got to keep giving yourself chances, but it can get bumpy on the greens in the afternoon as well.
Yeah.
So definitely favours the morning starters if you're maybe looking for a first round leader bet. You'd assume anyway.
Yeah, and then as well, if you're trying to work out the draw, as soon as you get a delay, then what could have been an afternoon play then switches to the morning, so it can be a bit trappy.
I've got a couple of selections for the event.
Yes, I have two.
I'm returning to the podcast, so it would be unfair of me to go first.
I thought it was your turn.
I'll let you lead off.
Yeah, I'm looking for a player who makes lots of birdies and is maybe starting to come back into some form after just disappearing a bit. And I think someone who fits the bill for that is George Kutsaya, South Africa. 40-1 we've got him at. So if you look at his results... Back end of last year, start of this, you've got lots of missed cuts there, sort of mid-30s, the odd 40. Not really doing anything, missed the cut. Even went home to the Dimension Data Pro-Am to maybe try and build some confidence, missed the cut there, missed the cut in Oman. The only thing we did see, he was on that first-round leaderboard in the WGC Mexico.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's a bit of a surprise. And then maybe that was a hint that something was coming, and that thing... did arrive in the Qatar Masters where he was in that big tie for second place, played really nicely there, hit lots of greens and then backed it up with 17th in the Kenya Open. So I think George Kutsaya does know how to win and he's now in the sort of form where he might just do that. He's had one go at this course but missed the cut, but I think he is a player who sort of can miss cuts and then suddenly get hot. Mm-hmm. So I'm just playing him as a winner who's come into some form, and I like the way his numbers are trending. I think last two starts he's been in the top eight for greens in reg, so I think, and he's putted well, so I think he's coming round and could pop soon.
Okay, I like it. George Kutsaya, 40-1. Predictably, I went for a player that was top price with William Hill, and having prepped this event this morning, that price has disappeared.
Oh dear.
But I've got to stick with him now. He's been clipped in from 50s to 40s. Andy Sullivan.
All right, yeah.
Is my number one selection. I thought in a field lacking any real depth, 50 to 1 was definitely a quality price about an operator like Sullivan, but 40 to 1 is respectable too. He might have just sparked back into life, Andy Sullivan, with a tie for 11th at Qatar on his latest start. And he is at his best in low scoring events. And his last win came in Portugal when he recorded 23 under par for the week. That was in that glittering three-win season for Sullivan. So he's gone a while without tasting success, but there was a lot to like about that performance in Qatar, where, crucially, he putted incredibly well over the final 36 holes. And he played in this tournament last year at this course for the first time and finished tied 17th, made 22 birdies that week, and had rounds of 66 and 67, which shows he can handle the track. And 40 to 1, Andy Sullivan is my number one selection here, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, jolly good. Second pick, I've taken a bit of a flyer on someone who's way down the odds, but I wanted to give someone who plays the Asian Tour a lot, used to kind of maybe the weather, the hot, the heat, the humidity. And I could have gone for some of the Asian players themselves, but I've gone for an American, Barry Henson.
Right, okay.
I can see the shocking.
Yeah,
face.
That is shocking.
Yeah. He just appeared on a few things that I was listing, maybe the top 40 in a few categories, and his name popped up in a few of them. One very obvious one, he was tied 10th in this last year, so he's proven on the course. Shot 69, 68, 65, and then 71 in the final round, so a better final round, and he would have landed you the place money there. He's in the top 35 for birdies, so he does like to, you know, go low. And he's just got some fairly solid form. His last couple of starts on the Asian Tour, 24th in the Indonesian Masters, 12th in the Singapore Open. That was quite a well-contested event, the Singapore Open. You've got some big names. I think Paul Casey was one of them. A few of the better players played there. So he's got some nice form in Asia. Didn't do too badly as well down under, 26th in the World Super 6 Perth, 39th in the New Zealand Open, which is an event that sort of passed me by, but I've seen it in several players' results this week. So he's just got a bit of a mix of stuff for a 150-to-1 shot. It's a bit of a punt, but I just thought you're not going to get a leaderboard here with just like the top six in the betting, are you? You're going to get some strangeness. Mm. So Barry Henson, the American, who has plied his trade. I mean, he's late 30s, so he's getting on a bit, and you could argue, has he got any improvement in him? But 10th last year with a really good first 54 holes, I think in these conditions on this course, he might just sneak a place again.
Okay, Barry Henson then. That is a bolt from the blue. I didn't expect that from you, Mr. Tindall. Barry Henson, 150-to-1 here with William Hill. I'm going for a three-figure prize for my second selection as well. Pachara Kongwatmai.
Yeah, I looked at him, yeah.
I just think that he's only 19 years old, Kongwatmai, but he's already shown glimpses of what he might achieve in the future with that splendid run on the tour in the middle of last season, where he finished top 15 in three straight events, the Czech Masters, the Made in Denmark, and the European Masters. That European Masters one was an interesting performance, I think, in relation to this event here. And his best finish in the last couple of years actually came at the Indonesian Masters as well. So relish these conditions. And he ranked second for putting en route to a 17th place finish at the course last year. That was on the back of a 20th place finish the year before. And even though he's shown relatively little recently, he was 12th in the Thailand Masters a couple of weeks ago. There's very little substance to that form, but hopefully he can have another good week in this event on a course that clearly suits him. And star of the future, 125-to-1, wheat field, Kongwatmai, I think it's worth a few quid.
Yeah, he was top 20 in that Singapore Open I referenced as well, and he got to the final, didn't he, of the World Super 6 Perth a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and when maybe we first saw him and realised this kid could really go. I thought he was like 21 by now, but he's still a teenager, isn't he?
Still 19, yeah.
So big future.
Who came closest that just missed out on the cut for you?
I certainly think Ryan Fox, now he's got that first win under his belt, he should go well. There's a couple who are chasing a first win who have got a nice mix of stuff. Mike Lorenzo Vera and Thomas Detry. I think they might go in soon. And Arnaus, I do like Adrian Arnaus. So
yeah.
33s, I think if you kept backing him at that price in this quality of field, I think he'll do well in overtime.
Yeah, there's a couple of 50s that I like. Chris Paisley was one of them, 50-1, and Maximilian Kiefer, I thought, yeah, was very interesting at 50s. He's just in fine form at the moment. This is a course that really should suit him as well.
I just looked at his putting stats and they were a bit,
yeah,
for birdie fest.
That's where he struggles, isn't, yeah, it, as well. So, but a lot of the time in these birdie fests, and it's something that
it's weird, isn't it? Sometimes
it's weird. Yeah, yeah, it's the ball strikers that come out on top because they're giving themselves so, yeah, many chances. Francesco Molinari always used to reference that,
yeah,
and said that it was this. We're going back a few years now when Francesco Molinari was a, yeah, notoriously weak putter. He said that these courses suited him because he gave himself so many looks. He managed to build confidence throughout the week because he was hauling putts.
Yeah, I remember people like Peter Hansen used to do well, and you think, well, he doesn't putt well, but he's a great ball striker, and that's the very same reason. Mm.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Let's talk about the Valspar Championship, which is a good field this week for this PGA Tour event. It's a real treat, this tournament. And Dustin Johnson heads the betting at 11-2. John Rahm is 10-1. Jason Day is 11s. Sergio Garcia in the market at 16-1. Webb Simpson is 20s. Patrick Reed, 22s. Gary Woodland and Paul Casey, both 25s. Jim Furyk, what about that last week? 33-1. Furyk, 40-1. And bigger the rest. We should have referenced it at the top of the podcast, really, Furyk's performance. That move on 18, by the way. The
little step,
the 7-iron into the last, 3 feet behind the hole, and he was walking after that one on the downswing. It almost yeah, defied physics.
Yeah. Fantastic performance. One of those ones where you think, oh, maybe it does help then if you live right next to the course and play it all the time, but... I mean, in a funny way as well, Thomas Bjorn's played quite nicely in Europe, so all that Ryder Cup captaincy does take your focus away, and some of these guys can still play.
Oh, absolutely. Furyk, by the way, we open 50s. We open first every Monday now. It's a new tactic from the William Hill compilers, and you get some prices that you think, well, that's ridiculously short. But then you do get a few where
you get Tiger the other week.
Yeah, you get the odd couple where you think that's big. Webb Simpson was one of them. I think we opened 28, and Jim Furyk was another at 50. I do check those prices out as soon as they pop up on
what time were we thinking?
Monday.
Half ten?
Yeah, half some, 10, 11 it was like yesterday. That, yeah. So I looked straight away, and if only I could log and bank some of those prices for the podcast.
Yeah.
That would be nice. I will try and tweet out a couple that I think that are overpriced because they do get snapped up, yeah, ridiculously quickly. I said it was a treat, and it is, because the Copperhead course that hosts this event, it's not a typical Florida track, and people reference it being much more like a course in the Carolinas.
Yes.
It's more reminiscent of a venue maybe like Harbortown. It's pretty tight with tree-lined fairways, and it's definitely more strategic than a number of the Florida courses. Holes work both ways as well. Lots of doglegs on this track. Par 71 measuring 7,340 yards. And unusually, four par 5s and five par 3s, which is a different dynamic. And the winning score is likely to be around about 10 under par. And just being 3 weeks away from the Masters, I didn't expect as strong a field as this.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought it's the obvious one to skip, isn't it?
It looks that way. Maybe people are thinking this week, next week, and then miss the week before and give themselves a 14-day build-up, in effect.
Possibly. I've heard a couple of people say as well that maybe someone like DJ's got to fill his quota of events, and this was one where
add a new one.
Yeah, this was one he hasn't played for, 10 years?
Or yeah.
So he might be doing that. But yeah, and good to see a field like this after such a big event. You thought they would almost be relaxing. One of the things you've got to weigh up this week is, was last week so draining that it has a detrimental effect, or some of those who played well last week, will they be boosted and we're still in Florida? Similarish conditions, in that you've got the overseed again this week, so you could argue that if you played well last week, you come into another quite a tough test, and it it might serve you well.
Yeah, it's a real ball strikers track, this, isn't it, really? Because you can't hit driver off every tee.
No.
It's really a positional golf course, and really a true second-shot golf course as well, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree with that. I've got two picks. You go this time, then.
Okay, I'm going to go Henrik Stenson.
Right, okay.
As my headline.
I reckon
selection.
He was my third or fourth pick.
Oh, good. 40's just...
Yeah, it's just a price, and it makes you go,
player.
Whoa.
Yeah. It does. It definitely does. There are obviously elements of risk with Stenson, but I thought the price definitely outweighed those. This is just a perfect course for the Swede, as evidenced by his results at Copperhead. Missed the cut last year, but prior to that, he'd finished 4th, 11th and 7th in his three starts at this tournament. And even though he missed the cut last week at the Players... it was his short game and putting that let him down. You look at the stats, I was interested to see that he'd still gained 2.5 shots on the field with his approach play at Sawgrass, which I think bodes very well. And there had been real signs of encouragement the week before at Arnie's place in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he was 10 under over his last 54 holes after a disastrous Thursday. And he ranked third in strokes gained on the approach that week and second in driving accuracy. It's obviously a positional golf course off the tee, which really suits Stenson. Means he doesn't have to hit a driver too much. And I can see him bouncing back from that miscut at a very respectable price. So yeah. 40-1, Henrik Stenson for me.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to go 10 points higher for my main pick. At 50s, Ryan Moore.
Yeah, he was...
He's close for you.
Yeah, third or fourth pick again. Yeah. I've got him in my honourable mentions section.
It's kind of when you said about play well in the Carolinas, I think he's someone maybe like him, Webb Simpson, you think of his first win, Ryan Moore, was at Sedgefield, the Wyndham, so you think he likes that style of golf, which is all very well, but then what's his actual form on this course? But it kind of backs it up that he does like this style. It's a bit more undulating, less Florida-y. So he's got a third, a fifth, an eighth, and that third and the fifth, third 2016, fifth 2015, 18th a couple of years ago, really does play well at this course. And he had a poor run at the start of the year, just missed a few cuts, but just starting to see him play a bit better now. 28th in the Genesis Open, 33rd at Bay Hill, and then 20th at Sawgrass last week, where he had that hole in one. Did you see that one? He just sort of drained it. And I like the fact that he played well on the weekend, shot a pair of 69s on the weekend, so he would have left Sawgrass thinking playing a bit nicely now. So just I expected him to be slightly collared, given that he's fairly exposed and what his course form is, and that nudge, perhaps even helped by the hole in one, put him in the spotlight a bit more. But so I thought 50s, yeah, if he was 40s, 35s would have sort of gone, but 50s I'm playing.
Yeah, his recent stats are very strong, Ryan Moore. I do like him at 50-1. Again, another 40-1 shot for me, though. I'm going with Kevin Kisner at 40s. His best putting performances have come on Bermuda greens, and I think he's primed for a big week. It always piques my interest when a player has a solid run with plenty of cuts made, and Kisner has actually finished inside the top 30 in his last five starts. He's played this tournament twice without success, but it's really a venue that should suit him, with similarities to Harbour Town and Colonial, where he's won. And I think 40s seems fine to me for Kevin Kisner, so he's my second selection.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to 66s for my second pick in Charles Schwartzel.
Okay.
I have no idea how he will perform this week. He could just as well miss the cut, but there's a high side with him where he could really make a challenge. He won this event in 2016, backed it up with a six, so he really does love the course. I mean, it's undulating. Won at Augusta National, which is a very undulating course as well. Played well in last year's Players' Championship, finished runner-up, so he can do the Florida thing as well. And again, what his form is just odd, isn't it? He was third in the South African Open, and there were so many positive noises coming out that this he turned the corner, and this could be a big
season. He's been speaking incredibly highly of his overall game, but it's not been.
And then he came out and missed four cuts straight away, and then withdrew from the Genesis, and he thought, what's happening with him again? And then he played that Puerto Rico Open while... What did that run concurrently with? Was it with... Or was it just on its own?
No, it was a second-tier event.
Yeah.
It was with the WGC Mexico.
So he played that and he thought maybe a chance to build some confidence. And he did just that with a tied sixth place, finished with a 66. And then he went to the Honda Classic, always a tough place, one of these tough Florida tracks that sort of the, you know, sort the ball strikers out, and he was 16th there, and he thought, right, he's back again. Then he misses the cut at the Players' Championship, but that's, you're going to get that with him. I don't think you should be too scared about missed cuts with Schwartzel. He just does them.
Yeah.
Just has weeks where he's not on it at all. So if you can time it right, I must admit I've struggled to time it right with him down the years, but I think 66-1 on a course where he's won before, and take out last week and he's got form of 16-6. It could prove a good price for Charles Schwartzel. So who knows? But, I'm not backing him at a short price these days. But 66-1 on a course that he likes, I'm willing to take that risk.
Okay. A number of players caught my eye at that 40-1 mark, funnily enough. Brant Snedeker was one of them. That move from Butch Harmon back to Todd Anderson yielded immediately positive results with his fifth at the Players.
And then Ollie Schneider, like, Jans went the other way, didn't he?
It's bizarre.
Suddenly played well.
He's 66-1. He's been collared a little bit, hasn't he? That looks skinny to me.
It's a bit like everyone's realised he's good and he's, it's gone too far, hasn't it, that way. But I think in a couple of weeks, if he just drops down again in the odds,
yeah, you might get another opportunity.
Yeah, back him at 100 somewhere.
And I like Jason Kokrak. His numbers are just absolutely outstanding. And I know that you could maybe follow Jason Kokrak over a cliff a little bit, but he's 40-1, so he interests me as well. So, I like that 40-1 bracket. What did you make to the guys at the top of the betting?
DJ, who knows? He might just win this by four.
He's hitting it brilliantly, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
his numbers are up alongside Rory McIlroy in terms of ball striking. We all know the run prior to last week's Players that McIlroy had been on.
Yeah, and if you look at last week in a sort of wider context, you might have looked at him that week and thought, well, it wasn't quite on it. But that's his best ever finish at Sawgrass. Yeah. So
it has helped a few of the players that move from May to March.
Yeah, I think course suited him more. But still, it's a confidence builder. And I don't really know. Again, with it, sometimes you think he won't be that bothered, like when he goes to Saudi and then he wins. So it's hard to say. 11-2, I'm willing to let him go, to be honest, at that price. I think Rahm is not for me this week. I think it might be a bit of a hangover.
What about the incident on 11 when he was in the bunker, left, and had a conversation with his caddy about whether to hit that rope hook, which just was
odd,
bordering on insanity.
Yeah,
and then he had the audacity, having plonked it in the middle of the lake, to blame his caddy for trying to talk him out of it.
That's him though for now, isn't it? He's
headstrong. There were murmurings that he'd done a lot of work with a bomb defusal expert to get him mentally prepared for big championships. And everything seemed to be progressing serenely going into that final round. And there'd been no catastrophic outburst from John Rahm. But then it came and
It's always going to get tested, isn't it, in the final round. So it's almost like he had
a free ride. He failed the test.
Yeah, for now, yeah.
Yeah.
He's such a great player, isn't he?
I think he's going to go incredibly well at Augusta. I do think maybe the pressure might get to him on Sunday, but I think he's got a big chance.
I mean, he was in it last year until the 16th, when he went in 15th until he went in the water.
Yeah.
I think he's almost got to just sort of sit on the shoulders of the leaders, maybe, Augusta. I think if he's out there in front the first two rounds, I think he might. That's not the way to do it.
That
was the first lead he's had on the PGA Tour after 54 holes.
Yeah, I was surprised by that stat. Yeah,
you would have thought he'd done it three or four times. Yeah. But so they all, as much as he's one of the fastest learners we've ever seen, still something. And I kept writing on Twitter last week, if you look at the final round scores of the 54 hole leaders, they're terrible at Sawgrass. So his 76 was only maybe like a stroke above the average for about the last 12 years. So it's just, it is a course. That course does get to you. So you can sort of forgive him a little bit.
Okay, let's just have a quick word on Sergio Garcia as well. 16-1, Sergio.
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance.
I think
this
he's got a good chance. He was the one at the right at the top, the sharp end of the betting that tempted me, I must admit.
Yeah, I think Webb Simpson's always got a chance here.
Yeah.
Jason Day might pull out after five holes, who knows. What do you make of him when he does that?
Well, his record after he's withdrawn the following week's sensational, isn't it?
Yeah,
weirdly.
You've almost got to not get into that trap of thinking, oh, as soon as he pulls out, and then just very clinically back him the next week.
Yeah, yeah, he's not for me at 11-1 on this golf course.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't.
Because normally, normally
he did win.
You get a bit of extra pointage, don't you? Because there's an element that, oh, his back's gone or something, or he's not right. But he's certainly one who can just miraculously recover.
Any others you want to mention?
Adam Hadwin, I think, has got a good chance on this course, 50-1. Gary Woodland's won here before, as his putting's letting him down a little bit. But my other one, but I'm going to save him for the hashtag Your Odds.
Let's go for it. It's at the top of the hashtag Your Odds list. We've tried to do this every single week, and we have a point on the hashtag Your Odds. If you want your bet pricing up, just use that hashtag Your Odds and tweet to @WilliamHill, and the traders will price it up, put it on the website. And ours is on there at the top of the list. I'll start with mine because I've already mentioned it anyway. I think Henrik Stenson is overpriced this week, so I'm playing him in the top 10 market as my selection.
Yeah, I'm going for Rafa Cabrera Bello. I don't know what happened to him last week. He just got off with the wrong... He got off on the wrong foot and it never came back to him. Missed the cut by a mile, but maybe it was just... that's gone because... Yeah. He was 17th at the Players last year. Lots of good form in Florida. Saw him finish third at Bay Hill just a few weeks ago. He's finished 17th at the Players last year, as I said, fourth at the Players 2017, another 11th at Doral in 2016. Plays Florida well. Had one look at the course a few years ago when he wasn't as good a player. Did okay, poor first round, but shot 69, 70, 72, finished 44th. I think he's very capable of making the top 20, and that's 2-1.
It is, and the double, Henrik Stenson top 10, Rafa Cabrera Bello top 20. That's our hashtag Your Odds this week, 12-1 on the William Hill website. That includes the ties as well, importantly. So that is 12-1. Who's the player you don't want to win? I think Brant Snedeker will be mine, definitely in the Valspar. And Max Kiefer, I think, in the Maybank Championship, if I had to.
Yeah, I'd go Ryan Fox and probably Sergio.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Thank you, Dave.
If you want to follow Dave on Twitter, please do, @DaveTindallGolf. You can follow myself, @DKellner. 3 weeks away from the Masters now.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm looking forward to that immensely. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website at sports.williamhill.com and on the app, and make sure you have a look at the hashtag Your Odds for this week as well. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf with William Hill, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.